encouragement is not the word. Lana and Jack are such an encouragement to us. As many of you know, my husband baptized Jack, and Jack came out of the water preaching and has preached ever since. We can't shut him up. But it is a blessing because he's a good, faithful man, and he definitely has a good, faithful wife behind him, backing him. And we're proud of Jack and Lana, very, very proud of them. I want to thank Linda for the beautiful song leading. I asked Linda to lead the songs that she sang yesterday and today, and she's done a beautiful job, and they're beautiful songs. And I hope that you've listened to the words of them because they're so dear to me, to my heart, and I know they will be to you. Colleen, I appreciate that sweet prayer. I need all the prayers I can get. If you were here yesterday, you know that my topic was on our personal relationship, patterned after God's relationship to us. Out of curiosity, I'd like for you to tell me some things. When you think of this title, what are some topics that you would think of to speak on? Yesterday I spoke on the love relationship. What are some others? What are some things that you can think of that we need to work on in our lives, patterned after our relationship with God? Y'all go ahead and speak up. Don't be shy. Discipline. Good one, Pat. Anyone else? Well, I've chosen the love relationship and the forgiveness relationship. If I'd have thought of discipline, that would have applied to me very much so, too. But I tried to think about things that I needed to work on in my life. The way God loves us, the way we love others, is important, isn't it? And we discussed that yesterday. Well, today we're going to talk about forgiveness. In studying desirable characteristics of the heart, none is more important to me as a child of God than that of forgiveness. It is important in the home, in the church, in the community, and in the nation. There are three kindred spirits of the human heart: giving, thanksgiving, and forgiving. Usually where one is found, the others will be found also. I'd like to discuss with you today four reasons why it is necessary for us to forgive one another. Number one, God commands it. Jesus said, "And when you stand praying, forgive." Mark 11:25. Here is a necessary and a plain commandment for us in order for us to please our Lord. And that's what we're all wanting to do, isn't it, is to please our Lord. Gospel preachers have always contended that there is no such thing as an unnecessary commandment of God. God has coupled a promise with every commandment in His holy word. For example, we have contended with sectarian people that the commandment of baptism must be obeyed exactly as it is given in the Bible. In the same way, we may well contend with members of our church that this command to forgive one another is absolutely essential. Secondly, it is necessary for us to forgive one another because Jesus has set the example of forgiveness. At His crucifixion, while He was hanging on the cross, He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Luke 23:34. Christ is our great exemplar, isn't He? There is nothing that we are asked to do that our Lord did not do if it were necessary. He surrendered His will wholly to the will of our Father. Subject to God at all times. He even set the others the example of being baptized. The one thing which we are asked to do that our Lord did not have to and could not do was the example of repenting of sins, for He had no sins. Thirdly, it is necessary for us to forgive because we ourselves have been forgiven. The beloved Apostle Paul wrote, "And be ye kind one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God has forgiven you." Ephesians 4:32. One reason why, then, that we must forgive others is because we ourselves have been forgiven. Perhaps when we find it so difficult to forgive someone, we ought to stop and think about how much our Lord has forgiven us. It's an humbling experience, isn't it? Some advice is given by Paul saying, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Colossians 3:13. We must forgive then because God commands it, because Jesus has set the example, and because we ourselves have been forgiven. Fourthly, it is necessary for us to forgive in order that we may be forgiven. Our Lord tells us, for if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses. Matthew 6:14-15. That's a pretty plain statement to me. If we do not forgive those who sin against us, God will not forgive us our sins. Jesus said, and when you stand praying, forgive. If ye have aught against anyone, that your Father also who is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. Mark 11:25. If you have your Bibles, would you please turn with me to Matthew 18:23-35. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a certain king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle them, there was brought to him one who owed him 10,000 talents. But since he did not have the means to repay, his lord commanded him to be sold, along with his wife and children and all that he had, and repayment to be made. The servant therefore, falling down, prostrated himself before him, saying, have patience with me, and I will repay thee all. And the lord of that servant felt compassion, and released him, and forgave him the debt. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, who owed him 100 denarii. And he seized them and began to choke him, saying, pay back what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down and began to entreat him, saying, have patience with me, I will repay you. He was unwilling, however, but went and threw him in prison until he should pay back what was owed. So when his fellow servants saw what had happened, they were deeply grieved, and came and reported to their lord all that had happened. Then, summoning him, his lord said unto him, you wicked servant! I forgave you all that debt because you entreated me. Should you not also have had mercy on your fellow servant, even as I had mercy on you? And his lord, moved with anger, handed him over to the torturers until he should repay all that was owed. So shall my heavenly Father also do to you, if each of you does not forgive his brother from your heart. This certain Lord, in this scripture, the certain Lord represents the kingdom of heaven. His servant represents Christians. The reckoning he made with his servant is typical of God's judgment on us. The 10,000 talents which the servant owed the master represents our sins against God. The helplessness of that servant to pay his debt represents our inability to forgive our own sins. The Ethiopian cannot change his skin. The leper cannot change his spots. The sinner cannot forgive himself. The Lord's mercy in forgiving that servant his debt represents God's tender mercy toward us in forgiving us our sins. At last, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? The fellow servant is a brother in Christ. The 100 shillings which he owed to the other servant represents our sins against one another. This servant, taking his debtor by the throat and choking him, represents our attitude toward our brethren. The sorrow of the fellow servants when they saw this represents the sorrow of the saints when they see children of God who are not willing to forgive one another and who engage in a campaign of abuse. God's wrath and punishment is depicted for us in the Lord's anger as he took this servant and delivered him up to the tormentor. And so our Lord Jesus Christ said that the Heavenly Father will do this to us unless we, from our hearts, forgive one another. There is no plainer statement of God's attitude towards an unforgiving spirit than this. I've heard many questions asked on forgiveness, and I'd like to share just a few of those with you right now. How often are we to forgive one another? If a brother sins against us and asks to be forgiven, and then sins again and asks to be forgiven, how long should we go on forgiving that person? I believe this is plainly answered in Matthew 18:21-22. Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till 7 times? Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee 7 times, but till 70 times 7. In other words, Jesus said that we are to forgive a brother an unlimited amount of times, provided he repents of his sins and asks us to forgive him. Our Lord also teaches in Luke 17:34 that we must forgive a man, if need be, 7 times in one day, which just simply means day or night, as long as we should live, we must be ready to forgive those who ask for our forgiveness. Should we forgive one who will not repent? No. We forgive as God forgives. God does not forgive us if we do not repent of our sins. And we are not to forgive a brother who will not repent of his sins. We are to hold no ill feelings towards that person. We are to seek to do him good and to seek to lead him to repentance. But we cannot forgive him until that brother has repented of his evil doings. The goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance, Romans 2:4. If a brother sins against you, you ought to be so good to him that your very goodness will lead him to repentance. Paul said, recompense to no man evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Romans 12:17. Ladies, I want to tell you right now that if you have wrath in your heart towards another person, you better hit those knees and start praying for them. Solomon raised his hands up to heaven in 2 Chronicles 6:13. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane in Luke 22:41. And Stephen in Acts 7:60. David said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. Psalm 66:18. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. As you pray, remember the Lord's Prayer and as he prayed, subjecting yourself to God's will and praying to do his will. His will is that you pray for your enemy, for wrath and malice toward one another will prevent you from entering heaven. There's a lady at our congregation that doesn't care much for me. I was teaching a young lady's class, which her daughter was in. And she came into class one Wednesday night and was real excited because she was asked to lead the prayer at the football game Friday night. My lesson was, I was not prepared to teach on this lesson, but because she came in with this, I decided it was a good time to teach on the subject. So I showed her some scriptures and talked to all the girls about it and told them that they needed to go home and study and make up their minds whether or not they could do it. I told them it was against my conscience and I couldn't do it. I told her to go home and make up her mind. Well, in the meantime, she talked to her mother about it, and her mother was furious that I had taught on it. She was proud of her young daughter, and she's a precious young lady, but she didn't have any business praying in front of the whole town at the football game Friday night. Well, her mother, I tried to discuss this with her mother, and she wouldn't discuss it, so I went to the young lady and straightened things out with her and told her I was sorry if she felt I was singling her out in any way, that I loved her and I cared about it, and I loved her soul. And I hoped that she would take the suggestions I made to her out of love, because it was given out of love. Well, the mother still doesn't talk to me much. Occasionally she does, but I remembered in Mark 11:25, in Matthew 18, and Luke 17:34, and began praying for God, to God, for His will to work in our lives, for His answer would be grounded in our good. I prayed every day, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, for any malice or iniquity to be overcome in my life. And I tried to keep my mind in the scriptures, where His will for us can always be found. When we ask of God that which is not of our own good, the promise, "Ask and it shall be given you," cannot be fulfilled. Our request must be from the heart. A week or so later, after I had had this conversation with the lady, and it was longer than that. It was probably about a month afterwards, because I'd gone to the young lady and talked to her, and I'd really prayed a lot about this. It really upset me and caused a lot of changes to be made in my life. I examined my own life and tried to decide if what I did was right, because I was sure getting a lot of flack from some of the parents about doing it. And I tried to decide whether or not my behavior towards them was showing the proper attitude of love. And I prayed a lot about it. Well, sometimes she talks to me, sometimes she doesn't. So hopefully, if I continue praying, that my prayerful attitude can bring us closer, because we both do worship under the same roof as fellow Christians. By initiating conversation with her, I hope to show a proper attitude of love and proper in 1 Corinthians 13, and interest for her, Luke 6:29-30. As ye would have men should do to you, do ye to them likewise, Luke 31. How should we forgive one another? All forgiveness must be full and complete and must be from the heart, forgiving as Christ forgave you, Matthew 18:21-35. And it concludes with these words, "So shall also my heavenly Father do unto you, if ye forgive not every one his brother from your heart." You know, as Christians wanting to please our Lord, our watchword should be forgive and forget all forgiveness. We are seeking to live in Christ, where all virtue can be found. We can find more peace by overcoming malice towards others than just about anything. We cannot forgive and continue to hold a grudge. We must grant it full, free, and complete. The same kind of forgiveness that God, that we ask God to grant us when we ask for forgiveness. God's law is perfect on this subject, just as it is on every other subject. God's law places the responsibility on the offended and on the offender. There is no such thing as a Christian failing to see their responsibility whenever there has been a difference between a brother. The responsibility is placed on the offender in Matthew 5, 23 through 26. Would y'all like to turn to that with me? If therefore you are presenting your offering at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your offering there and before the altar and go on your way. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and present your offering. Make friends quickly with your opponent at law while you are with him on the way, in order that your opponent may not deliver you to the judge, and the judge to the officer, and you be thrown into prison. Truly I say to you, you shall not come out of there until you have paid up the last cent. This is a plain teaching of God's word. If I have sinned against my brother, I shouldn't come into the presence of God and attempt to worship until I have seen that brother and corrected things. God will not accept my worship until it's taken care of properly. On the other hand, the responsibility is on the offended. This is found in Matthew 18, 15 through 17, if you'd like to turn there. And if your brother sins, go and reprove him in private. If he listens to you, you have won your brother. But if he does not listen to you, take one or two more with you, so that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every fact may be confirmed. And if he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax gatherer. You see here that if a brother has sinned against me, the first responsibility is to tell him the fault between the two of us alone. If he will not hear me, the second thing that I can do is to take the two or three witnesses. If he will not hear them, then I tell the matter to the church, withdraw my fellowship from him, and let him be as a Gentile and a tax gatherer. It's plain here to see that God has replaced the has placed the responsibility on both parties in a disagreement. The human factor does not make this easy for man. However, God's ways are not man's ways, and it is not man in man that walketh to direct his own steps, Jeremiah 10:23. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are God's ways higher than man's ways, and God's thoughts higher than God's thoughts, Isaiah 55:8-9. The Bible also teaches that when we pray, we are to ask God to forgive us, even as we have forgiven those who have trespassed against us. If a brother sins against another and then asks God for forgiveness, God will not forgive unless that brother has a forgiving spirit. Sometimes we hear people say, "I forgive you of your sins, but in the future, I'm not having anything to do with you." How would we feel if God did us that way? One who has made that statement hasn't really forgiven his brother at all, has he? We must forgive and forget in order for God to forgive us. There are many Bible examples that are so close to our hearts on this subject. In Genesis 50, there's a tender and touching story of Joseph, whose brothers have sold him into the bondage of Egypt, but who forgave those brothers. He sent the Egyptians away from the court so that they might be alone, and together with his brothers, he forgave them. They talked together and prayed together. I know that none of us have been cast into a pit and left there to die, nor has the church sold us into slavery in a foreign country. and had us to live away from our families. This is exactly what Joseph's family brothers did to him. But he forgave them. We can forgive too. We have to be forgiving. God commands it. Another touching story is found in 1 Samuel 24, where David, even after Saul had attempted to take his life, had an opportunity to destroy Saul, but he would not do so. And do you remember why? Saul was the anointed of the Lord. Every brother in the church is the anointed of the Lord. In our attitude toward one another, we ought to be kind, tender-hearted, merciful, and forgiving. We need to deal with every brother as we want God to deal with us. Poor Stephen preached that memorable sermon in the 7th chapter of Acts. And at the end of his sermon, he was stoned to death as he prayed to the Heavenly Father on behalf of those who were stoning him. "Lord, lay not this sin into their charge." And then he fell asleep. It's interesting to me that the Bible teaches that Jesus is seated at the right hand of God. But here in the 7th chapter of Acts, Stephen said, "I see Jesus standing on the right hand of God." Evidently, the reason Jesus was so touched when Stephen was stoned to death that he stood up, looked down on Stephen with such longing eyes, and received his spirit. Stephen did have a forgiving spirit, and he was ready to forgive even the people who stoned him to death. Can you imagine being stoned to death? We talk about the persecution that we have in the church. I don't think we know what persecution is. Stephen was stoned to death. I mean, we can think, Lynn and I were talking about this last night. You know, I think we can all remember our brother or sister throwing rocks at us when we were little. But can you imagine throwing big stones and actually killing someone with them? Of course, the classic example of all is the forgiveness that our Lord Jesus Christ had for us. When he prayed in Luke 23:34 that the Lord might forgive those people who were nailing him to the cross, for they know not what they do. Can that not be said of any brother who holds malice towards another? We need to have a forgiving spirit towards one another in the order that we may be brought to repentance and stand justified in the sight of our God. I'd like to suggest to you 10 ways to forgive others. Determine in your heart that you're going to forgive. You can do it. Philippians 4:13. Remember the harm that resentment can do, not to the other person, but to you. Proverbs 20:22. Remember that you will not be blessed spiritually until you forgive. Mark 11:25-26. Thinking about forgiving is not enough. One must come to a specific moment when he says, "With God's help, I forgive." James 2:26. Repeat inserting the offender's name the following: "Forgive my trespasses as I have forgiven this person." Matthew 6:12-15. Practice praying for others, asking God for specific blessings for him. Matthew 5:13-16. Speak to others in a kindly manner about the person against whom you attempted to harbor antagonism. Romans 12:21. That's pretty hard, isn't it? Write a brief letter of goodwill. Don't be offended if it's not answered. You have cleansed your own heart, and that's what really matters. Study the cause of this unhappy situation to correct the mistake pattern in your life. 2 Corinthians 13:5. Ask God to effect a permanent spiritual change in your nature to forestall any future rifts. Psalms 51:10. Put on, therefore, as elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Colossians 12 and 13. I'd like to conclude with just a little part of the song that we sang a while ago. If I have wounded any soul today, if I have caused one foot to go astray, if I have walked in my own willful way, dear Lord, forgive. Thank you.